Well, good afternoon. I'd like to build upon Jerry's excellent presentation and highlight some of the lessons that I've learned working in the museum field essentially now for over 34 years, lessons that I've learned primarily focusing on leadership and leadership development within the museum setting. I'm trained as a conservator, paintings conservator, started off in Philadelphia a number of years ago, and over the course of my career, I've been presented with a number of opportunities to assume greater responsibilities, essentially becoming a head of a department, head of a division, a deputy director, and for a 8-month period, interim co-director at my previous institution before going to Richmond at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, where I am now Deputy Director for Collections and Facilities Management. So one of the things I'd like to do, well, actually, two things I'd like to discuss is how did this happen, and how did I prepare myself? What experiences are particularly useful, particularly valuable in this process? Looking at key skills, and I think Jerry did a very good presentation about what skill sets are necessary. And I think two that are really, I think, fundamental, and I know are possessed by everybody in this room, is being organized and good at planning and problem solving. I think with those two key skill sets, you can really accomplish a great deal. It's important to be solution-oriented. I can't tell you how many times people come to my door as an administrator and say, well, this is broken, this isn't working, we can't do this, we can't do that. That becomes a little tiring to hear over time. I'd much rather have someone come in, a staff member come in to me and say, I've got an idea of how we could fix this, or how we can improve upon this. And so that's why I think stressing on solutions or thinking about solutions whenever possible is certainly highly desirable. So what steps can you take individually to help develop or to position yourself to become a leader in your organization? I'd like to recommend start small. Take responsibility for a project. It could be as straightforward as reorganizing a storage room to something that's much more complex and elaborate, such as implementing a new collections management system. But with a project where you're primarily the person that owns it and implements it. The next step, I would say, is, and building upon what Rebecca was talking about this morning with emergency planning and emergency preparedness, is take an opportunity to lead a task force or a working group. This can be something that's done on an ad hoc basis, or it could be formalized. But what is, I think, beneficial about working on a task force is it helps you become adept at managing a team environment, a team dynamic. And it also benefits you by getting early buy-in to any type of change that you're trying to advocate. So what would be an example of a task force? Well, you could take a process that's not working particularly well at your institution and assemble members from across the museum to help consult, advise, and develop a plan, a solution to address that particular issue. It could be something as complex as developing or updating the emergency preparedness plan. But the idea is to work across the museum and to develop those connections to other staff members in your institution, build those bridges that I think are very, very important. A task force also has a benefit of being somewhat limited in duration, so it's not something that has to go on and on and on, but should have a finite beginning and a finite end. And then another important point, and Jerry alluded to this as well, is your development officer should be your best friend. I can't stress this enough. In the course of my career, I've probably brought in, you know, working collaboratively with development officers, probably about $4.5 million the last time I tallied it. We have a proposal now pending for $1.5 million before a national foundation. And it's important for you to become a good grant writer. You don't have to necessarily know all the intricacies of writing a good proposal, but this is by participating in this process of writing a grant, you're developing your case, you're developing a vision, you're honing that vision, and then essentially it becomes a vehicle to sell that vision to potential funders. How do you become a good grant writer? Read as many grants as you can. How many people are IMLS peer reviewers? I would expect to see more hands up. IMLS is an excellent way. Reading grants, being a peer reviewer for IMLS, is probably one of the best ways that I learned how to write good grants. Because you see, by being a peer reviewer, you get a selection of grants, and you can really start to see what are the characteristics of a successful grant. And so certainly take every opportunity. If you can't be a peer reviewer, whenever you're working on a potential project that may involve a federal foundation, you can always ask for samples of successful grants. That also gives you, I think, good insight into that process. And it comes down to the fact that if you can find the money to do something, you're more likely to be able to do it. So the more successful you are at identifying resources, bringing resources to the table, will make you that much more successful within the museum as a whole. So just to sort of summarize this, because I know we want to leave room for questions afterwards, is there's a couple of things that I just really sort of want to reiterate. One, demonstrate your value to others. This is important because that makes you the go-to person. And do it in a way that starts to raise your visibility within the organization. Also, always be generous. Be willing to lend a hand to others. I know sometimes we get very focused on the work that we have to do today, but if you know someone else maybe who's trying to get an exhibition open and they may need vitrines cleaned or the floor swept, don't hesitate to volunteer to lend a hand. That helps to build bridges and build durable relationships across your institution. Take advantage of opportunities, going back to what Jerry was saying about the three C's, chance, choice, and circumstances. Take advantage of opportunities as they come along. It can be a small opportunity, but make sure you take advantage of it. And in doing so, don't be hesitant to move outside of your comfort zone. I know we're very comfortable about doing a particular set of duties or responsibilities, but don't be afraid to spread your wings a bit and to move outside your comfort zone. And then getting back to the idea of the grant proposal, it's important, and Rebecca was alluding to this as well, articulate your vision and sell that vision. That is extremely powerful if you can really hone that, and because that helps you to convince others to follow you, which is, again, a sign of leadership. Certainly seek out mentors and establish your networks. And also look for training opportunities. Certainly within the leadership field, there's the Getty Leadership Institute. Harvard has its strategic perspectives in nonprofit management. And UVA, University of Virginia Darden Business School, also has a leadership development program. But really almost every business school across this country has some type of executive education program where you can begin to develop, I think, those leadership skills. You can, there are oftentimes financial modules that will focus on reading a balance sheet and understanding cash flow and how a P&L will differentiate from a balance sheet. And so those are types of where you can then enhance your opportunities from just on-the-job training or taking advantage of the situation that you're in now. So I hope that helps, and Layla will come up and give you, I think, another perspective on leadership. Thank you.